Scopa, solely to take forward a process that was started out of a VRR report that the Committee of Water and Sanitation recommended on. VRR shall be your budget review recommendation report. Subsequent to that, among other resolutions or recommendations of that session was to engage in a process of investigating the department. Part of those spoke about forensic investigation and so on. A number of things have not been coming out right from the department and also from the entities, whether water board or other entities within the Department of Water and Sanitation. Flowing out of that process was a joint session that we took with the SCOPA, amplifying that same recommendation that indeed, with all what is happening within the Department of Water and Sanitation, let us engage in a joint investigation process. There are terms of reference that have been drafted by the content advisor. They have been circulated. A letter was circulated inviting SCOPA from our team as the Water and Sanitation Committee of Parliament in the National Assembly. We are today at this meeting. Now, joining us is the Advocate Jenkins, whom we have requested to give us some background to rules that govern such a process. It also has been circulated with those draft terms of reference. We have started our process as a Committee of Parliament on Water and Sanitation in 2014. I'm mentioning that because that is going to be relevant as the scope of our work. there are obviously other processes that we shall have to engage in, guided, of course, by the input from Advocate Jenkins and also the draft terms of reference. The two of those, together with the budget review recommendation report, are going to guide us forward as we engage in this process. The process that, frankly speaking, is new in Parliament. Yet we've heard process with SABC some time last year. We also have just been hearing another process with the Public Enterprise Committee of Parliament. We are now, if I am not mistaken, speaking under correction, being the third and starting our own process. I'm aware also that the Minerals Committee is equally starting its own process today of investigation. Just to give that background so that we get a sense of, you know, where things are. We assume that we all do know each other. We have been interacting with SCOPA, not once, not twice. We are co-chairing with he always prefers to call people and call himself Comrade Koji. Kimmy Thomas was making reference, according to Timmy Thomas, to the fact that, you know, you are my democratic comrade. yeah, this is who we are. Unless we want to do a quick round of introductions, is that necessary? No. Okay, you want to comment on that specific one? And then, Sally, wish we give over to Advocate Jenkins.
Comrades, Chair, good morning, comrades. I think we are so used to being here when we have the accused. That's why the way you are seated not balanced actually. It would have been good if we had other corporate clinics inside, because we were all just on one side, and this side of which is usually occupied by the accused is empty. Well, I just want to affirm from our side as COPA what the chairperson of the portfolio committee said. That's why, Comrade Chair, we had to shift our hearing this morning with the NPA to the evening, so that this meeting can take place, because it's critical if we're actually going to realize the objectives of having the session that we're here to discuss. Yes, from our side, we received the draft terms of reference, we've looked at them, and had some scattered discussions around some of the things that may need to be done. I think we are ready for this engagement. So we can get into the substance of the issue.
Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you very much, Honourable Members and colleagues. Chair, if I understand my brief correctly, you wanted just some input on the process to be followed after the decision has been taken to have an investigation into the Department of Water and Sanitation. I think if we look at the process or the powers of the committee, of course, it's not necessary to say it, but I'll just mention it. The committee can only do what it is empowered to do in terms of the rules and the constitution and whatever other legislation is applicable. So the constitution gives the mandate to parliament and requires parliament to maintain oversight over the executive authority or the exercise of executive authority. So within that context, the NA rules has created portfolio committees as this one and given it general powers, so 167, and then specific portfolio committee powers in the rule. I think it's 227. And rule 227 allows the committee to conduct investigations. So that's in order, there's no problem in that in general. And rule 167 does require the portfolio committee to maintain oversight over the department and any entity within the department, which should include the water boards, as I understand. So, Chair, the question then arises really what process should be followed, and that question itself I think should be informed by what is it that we want to achieve, which we find in the terms of reference. I've gone through the terms of reference, it's one thinks sort of reversed on what can the committee do in the end of this process, which is our advisor now. But of course the committee is looking for a report to send to the House. So if one looks at the terms of reference, I think a good way to look at them is to say, can there be an item or a paragraph in that report? Can we find something on it? What is it that we want to achieve in each of those areas? If so, then the terms of reference stand, and we can then devise a system just a mechanism to get that information out. So we know what evidence we need. And that, in my view, will inform the process that the committee must decide on one hand. The other hand is, of course, resources, which is a critical thing, and in that regard, let me come to that again. So, Chair, what we have in Parliament, as you correctly pointed out, we have the SABC inquiry. We've had inquiries before that. The Wussy Pacoli matter a few years ago as well, which had a different kind of approach. But the SABC inquiry, one must remember, is really based on what is required in terms of the SABC Act, as well as the Broadcasting Act, as well as various court cases that happened prior to that Act being amended. And the Act really requires sort of a finding that must be made, which then results in a recommendation to remove the board, which then gives the president the instruction to remove the board without any discretion in that regard. So, in law, when we look at that, clearly there's rights that are being affected of the board members, so there's a real necessity for fairness, not that there's not a necessity in others, but process, a procedure that showed that everybody had an opportunity to respond. And what were the charges? How did they respond to the charges? Were the charges proven reasonably clear? And then the decision was taken to remove the board. The other inquiry that Parliament is busy with at the moment, the public enterprise is one based on the public protector's report. Mineral resources, similarly, although narrower in scope, just focusing on the findings against the former Minister of Mineral Resources. I'm not sure what process they're going to follow there, but I know they're initiating the process. What we've had, well, while I'm mentioning this on the one hand, the other hand is just a normal oversight, I don't want to call it normal, the constitutional mandate to maintain oversight. We have various examples of the procedure we can follow there. One is the procedure followed in SCOPA, which I was familiar with. I spent a few years in SCOPA. A colleague of mine is more there than I am now, where members divide work amongst themselves, and then within your area you ask certain questions to get the information out, which will lead to a report to the House with recommendations. The issue of what we see in mineral resources, with my colleague Mr. Bernara there, doing the leading of evidence, is a different approach where I think what was said in that committee becomes a very useful approach if the matters get very complicated and the amount of paperwork that must be studied becomes quite voluminous. So then it's good to have a dedicated evidence leader there who can go through it and pick out the critical areas or highlight those areas which the committee needs to focus on. Discuss it with the committee beforehand, to do a preparatory brief, and then after that we have the public inquiry where the evidence leader asks certain questions, gets certain information before the committee, and the committee then either cross-examines or do follow-up questions in that regard. So that's roughly the two areas. The area that Parliament is most familiar with, and the area, if I want to start talking about resources that Parliament has really budgeted for, was just the oversight process that we use in SCOPA. It took a few years to develop this document called the Oversight and Accountability Model. And when one goes through that, we didn't deal at that stage as Parliament with this issue of evidence leading and formal inquiries into a department. It's always been members getting a briefing document either from the Auditor General, for instance, in the case of SCOPA, or from a department, or from a public participation process. The Constitution doesn't reserve public participation only for legislative functions. All processes in Parliament must be public participation. So one can get that out as well, ask the public, what do you see is happening in the case of water? Is people feeling that water is not being delivered to them? Maybe people who have unsuccessfully tendered can bring out certain information around tender processes. I know that's one of the terms of reference. So there's various mechanisms to use. But when it comes to resources, I would suggest, Chairperson, that the matter is discussed at an appropriate forum, possibly with Mr. Frolic's office, the representative speaker in this regard, because it sets precedent. We've already had mineral resources dealing with the same question. I don't know which way they're going to go. It sounds a bit like they want to go the route of an evidence leader. But that decision itself needs to be discussed, I think, at the level where Parliament takes a decision to say this is the precedent we want to lead for the next democratic Parliament. Having said that, each committee is in charge of its own procedure. That's specifically one of its powers. So this committee can decide how it wants to conduct this investigation, whether it wants an evidence leader or whether it wants to look at the work divided amongst various members and group it sort of together and to say the members will ask the questions. Either which way, the members will get support from the committee staff as well as our office in legal services. There is a lot to do in Parliament at the moment, so we are used to work. So it's not a problem for us to support to support the committee in this regard. I've gone through some of the things, and I mean, to get the evidence out, I was not in the SCOPA hearing on this matter. I haven't read the SCOPA report, but I think that is a very useful starting point.
because the Auditor General has highlighted certain issues that I see which the department contested, which in itself is a problem. But certainly there can be a debate between the accounting officer and the Auditor General about certain findings just to clarify things. But eventually, when the Auditor General makes a finding, the finding should stand unless it's challenged, much like public protector's findings. So that's a useful starting point to get certain information out. What I'm trying to say with that, Chairperson, we don't have to repeat what has happened in SCOPA. I think if that report, much like the VRRR report, has been adopted by the House and the SCOPA report has been adopted by the House, then that's a fact. So that's evidence there that we can deal with. You go through the annual report of the department, one can call the department in and ask them certain questions to deal with the other things. There's an area of criminality in the terms of reference. It's a difficult one because I've never heard anybody say that they're guilty even after they've been convicted. But, I think Herman Charles Bosman wrote a little bit about that, and we saw it in various people who did spend time in jail and maintain that they're not guilty. So, Chair, we can call people and ask them about their criminal activity. I don't think we're going to get much out of it. So I don't know how to deal with that, to be honest. How are we going to investigate criminal activity? What one can do is to look at certain areas and to ask whether a complaint has been made for the appropriate body, namely the NPA and the police, to investigate certain areas. Because there are responsibilities on accounting officers to report anything over 100,000 rand in terms of the Prevention of Corruption Act, just to use the short term for that. So that is there. I've looked at some of the other references. So, Chair, I think let me rather answer certain questions if there are any. But I think in terms of the two processes, the committee can sort of consider it, maybe discuss it within the political parties or as a preparatory meeting, management meeting of the committee, Chair, and get some input from maybe from the Mr. Frolic's office or from the Chief Whip's Forum. I just think it needs, because it says precedent, it needs to be discussed a little bit broader with the proviso that in the end the committee must decide. And that's part of any discussion. The committee has the power to decide how it must operate. So, Chair, let me leave it at that. And I hope that's been some use. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks for that. That gives us an idea, more or less, as to how we might wish to move the process. We are getting engaged in an unprecedented process. The process that seeks to achieve certain objectives. Part of what we have in those terms of reference might just be some of those objectives. We might wish to amplify those, and at the end of the day, having to reach a consensus, we shall then set the basis for us to move forward with our program that we want to engage in. If there are any comments on that input by Advocate Jenkins from members? Mr. Chapa, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I arrived a little bit late. This is raining for the first time in Cape Town outside. So the traffic just jammed because there's rain today. Everybody's excited. I see people going out of their cars and just celebrating a little bit of tourism. There are two things, Chair, which I concur, but generally obvious. It has to be informed by the objective. What is it that we want to achieve, right? Now, in this position, I think he now has some understanding with regard to our terms of reference that sort of begin to inform you the approach in which you may want to take. But what I think what we should do, Chair, is that one is that the committee has power to investigate. That's where it starts. And I think all of us agree. The reason that we have arrived at this level, Chair, is because both the Committee on Water and Sanitation and Public Accounts Committee, both of them have identified a problem. And the problem that they have identified is mismanagement of public funds. That's what they've identified. Lack of leadership. Projects that are running without proper planning and all of that. Now I'm just not wanting to go deeper into a number of some of these other things. So therefore, my take will be, Chair, that both committees, public accounts or self, issues that are identified by public accounts committee can be tabled, as we have tabled the first, in fact, they sort of draft terms of reference from the committee point of view of water and sanitation. Then public accounts then identify the issues that they want us to zoom into. Because in principle, we have agreed that there is going to be a joint inquiry. This is what we have agreed. And this is not something that we just initiate now. It's something that both, in fact, the portfolio committee in its BRRR report made that recommendation. Parliament adopted that recommendation last year that there must be this particular inquiry. So therefore, Chair, once we have sort of put issues together, these are the issues to be investigated, then terms of reference then comes in. We then package those terms of reference properly. Out of the terms of reference, obviously, as we package these issues, we are now informed by the kind of inquiry we want to have. You have the Auditor General on the other side saying that has applied, which will identify all of some of these issues that we have identified ourselves to. We then have to agree that having put together these issues, financial, administrative, leadership, project management, these are all the issues that are at play here. Therefore, the approach in which we take is the following. Then you come in. Then legal services of Parliament then comes in. But if it does that, you then again identify the capacity of Parliament to assist again. Because as committees, you know that we are limited, by the way. You only depend on the committee researcher and the content advisor. That's all what we have. Legal services of Parliament becomes very critical, therefore, Chair. To then these ideas package them legally. To say, as the committees have identified the following, this is therefore the approach that we think you must take on the nature of an investigation that you must take. It's a process, and once you've agreed on that, Chair, you then develop a program for that. Obviously, consultation is a process that we may have to do. Nothing wrong stops us. I'm not in favor much of going back to chairpersons and discussions. No, it does not. Well, committee has its own power respect in the Constitution just to deal with the issues before it and resolve. Here is a joint arrangement that has been done. But obvious, individual members, right, I don't want to put it to political parties, but individual members can begin to identify what issues they want to further put into, you know, areas to be investigated and all of that, you know. So that's my small contribution, just to try and say our approach will be firstly, let's put the foundation solid. And that foundation will then have to be informed by issues that need to be investigated. Because in honesty, yes, it's correct. There's corruption, there's mismanagement of public funds. And this Chair, in the last three BRRR report, when the Department of Water and Sanitation in its APP target only meets 28%, but more than 16 billion rand of public funds is gone, it's finished. Money's finished, but they've only met 28% of their target. Where is the money? So these are issues that we have to focus our energy, we have to get witnesses, definitely, because you know, since we have just announced that we're going to be having this inquiry, I don't know how many people are willing to come forward to say that, you know, I have this information, I will be happy to come as a witness. So it's clear that you're going to need evidence leader who will then be able to process these issues with those witnesses and then prepare statements from those witnesses who are going to appear before the committee. So it's going to be a full inquiry, by the way. In fact, the expenditure of this department, if you were to look at it honestly, it's even lesser than what the SABC has done. when it comes to mismanagement of public funds. And it dates back, in fact, it's not something that starts now. It's something that starts from a project of 500 million and it ends up being 13 billion rand. That's what we are dealing with. So it's quite a very detailed, but we have to go into a mood of a full inquiry if we're to really help to resolve the problem that all of us have identified. SCOPA, for many years, I think, you saw it as help. You tried to probe. You will not get information unless someone is put under oath. Unless someone is put under oath to be able to share information. Because they come to the portfolio committee, both SCOPA and then what's called water and sanitation, and they keep quiet. You ask them questions, they don't say anything. Unless you put them under oath. That's the only way that you'll be able to probe the truth. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Now, I want us to, just for a moment, confine ourselves to the issues raised by Mr. Jenkins, Advocate Jenkins. The reason for that is because we want to structure our processes properly, such that at the end of the day, we know exactly where we are and where we want to go to. Timmy Thomas?
You must say Honorable Timmy Thomas. It's an informal meeting. I hope you don't call me that in the inquiry. Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. I want to echo what Honorable Chalky said and what Advocate Jenkins has said. All I want to push for is that I think it would be extremely useful to this inquiry to, once we've established the terms of reference, to allocate those sections of the terms of reference to persons who could be experts in those areas, who will actually own that, in other words, own the responsibility of really digging into that information, so that they are, that the committee has people of real gravitas and knowledge on those issues, and then to perhaps adopt a hybrid approach between what Advocate Jenkins, in other words, have a overarching evidence leader, but underneath that umbrella have various experts who can lead questioning in a cross-examination style, as we do here in SCOPA, because asking 10 questions and getting 5 answers will never help any inquiry. It's got to be the cross-examination style. I certainly hope we'll adopt that. We could possibly even put time limits on those members who are going to ask questions so that they don't carry on for a long time. And then just finally, if we do approach that, adopt that approach, that the members involved understand that question time is question time and not speech making time. And if we can all just discipline ourselves in that regard, that you get the most information out of witnesses, out of officials, when you ask pertinent, strong questions back and then get the answer back and then interrogate that. And that. So that's how you get the real info out. When we are making a speech, the officials literally look at us with a smile inside and say, you carry on talking, buddy. Carry on talking, because as long as you're talking, I'm not answering questions. And I think we just need to be really disciplined in that term, an effective inquiry. I hope that helps you. Thank you.
Comrade Ross?
Thank you, Chair.
We'll be taking this round as part of our brainstorming session in response to what Advocate Jenkins was saying.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think a lot of progress has been made to avoid duplication. I think we have a report from SCOPA, and I think clearly the committee, your portfolio committee, has done a lot of work. You have a report, and we also have the terms of reference quite clearly defined. And I fully support the idea of an evidence leader. I think that would be very useful. And then, of course, the cost implications. I know we have a constrained fiscus, and I think the public participation process should be limited, if not completely excluded. But Chairperson, I would like to know that we will be working towards a report for the House, and based on that report, I think we have to engage with the law enforcement agencies then. Now, my question is, when do we start engaging with, say, the Special Investigating Unit or perhaps criminal charges laid? Because we have in our SCOPA resolution that we should perhaps engage with these institutions. Should we then wait after the final report, which would inform us as to the way forward in terms of consequence management? Because I believe we should drive towards consequence management for the transgressions in this department, but also to enable the portfolio committee to continue with its positive work. Thank you.
Comrade Basson?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I also agree with the evidence leading, but I would like us to not exclude the public. That's where we're going to get a lot of information. And Chairperson, secondly, we should not be in a situation where we are time-bounded, because then we won't get to the end, to the bottom of this whole issue. We must realize that it's not just about money. It's about the life of people, water. And if we miss on this opportunity to clean up this department, we won't get a second chance or a second bite on it. So it must be as open as possible. Everybody that's got information, like Honourable Chowkey has indicated, they must come forward. They must bring that information. Chair, even if it takes us much longer than any other process, when we leave this parliament for the next parliament, we must give back a clean department that could deliver water and services to the community. Thank you, Chair.
No,
thank you very much, Co-Chairperson. I think what has been presented to us now sets a very solid foundation in terms of how we move forward. And I would like to, first of all, second what Honourable Brotherson has said, insofar as allocating focus areas to members, because in as much as we may have an evidence leader, I think that members themselves must be confined to areas of speciality, so that we don't become jacks of all trades and masters of none. So I think we must establish that principle and clearly define the focus areas. I think the basis of our scope of hearing one is a great help. The beautiful report of the Portfolio Committee of Auditor General as well, and then of course we can identify others. The public interest, of course, in this matter is vast and varied, and we must not run into the trap of, I think we've also avoided this at great length here in Scopa, where people want to come in only to defend themselves and not take us forward. At the drop of your name, then you come here and you waffle for a good 3 hours because you think it's a good opportunity for you to chew clear us off. We don't think that will be our area of focus. So I think, as part of the process, if you want to make a public submission, it needs to be structured. I think that you need to set some sort of deadline that writes all those public members with an interest, all those public submissions must be submitted by such and such a date, so that it's not a reactive kind of submission, but a proactive one. Then at least we know it's genuine. When those public submissions arrive, then we also allocate them to members to say, right, a certain component of the members will be dealing with these public submissions and feed that into AVA will be dealing with the focus areas. Because I really think we must be time-bound, Chair. I think we need so that we can actually effect some sort of consequence management. Otherwise, if we keep this hearing going on for a year, you will find that, well, we're not going to do justice to it. Because I think that even the new political leadership in the department is very desperate to actually get some sort of answer. So my proposal, Chair, is that yes, let us identify, one, the focus areas, and maybe Chairperson to assist the process, is to pay members of SCOPA and Water and Sanitation for the purposes of ensuring that we don't lose any area. So if the focus area X, one member this side, one member that side, then at least we are able to tackle the matter from those two vantage points, from the PC side and from the SCOPA side, so that the evidence leader is actively assisted by members of the court who are specifically dealing with that. And then finally, I think what Honourable Brothers has said about the kind of SCOPA model, one question, one response. One question, one response, and then all the other members then come in after this. So I think if we can structure ourselves in that way, it will be a great help, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
So your hand, Mr. Shura. Noted.
Thank you, Chairperson. Even though Honourable Sengwa has covered some areas that I wanted to raise. I just want to add on this issue of public participation, which Advocate Jenkins talked about, that I agree that some other people who might come to say that we want to present and sit there just for the purpose of that is not assisting. But for that purpose, I think it will be fair for us as a community to say that we welcome anyone, because you can get information from anywhere, despite your our BRRR report and the AG findings. But I just wanted to say that people should be able to submit their written whatever that they had, submissions, and then we'll be able to look with the legal people who will be assisting us and then determine from there. And the second one, maybe that I think we need to do, I think the office of the chairperson will be able to sit down and determine who comes in, who do we call in terms of coming to appear. I mean, officials from the department, those that are still there, even those that are no more there, so that we are able to give them time, they prepare themselves, so that they don't come and say something else that we have talked about. Also, the on the issue of your Public Finance Management Act of 1999, I think as Comrade Klengwa has already spoken about our focus area, also to check issues that emanate from that act, because I think that will be the basis of. It will be forming part of the basis of why we have decided to have this investigation. And I think the last point is on the issue of time frame, but in a sense of setting the time bounds of when do we start, because we'll be having recesses, and probably this is a busy year. Elections have started. We are already busy with elections. So I think we are able to, so that we are able to ask from the Office of the Chief Whip, from the Speaker, the Chair of Chairs, in terms of time, even if Parliament is not in session, we are able to be given that particular time to come and to push the work so that we finish. Thank you.
No, thanks, Chair. I think your colleagues have covered most of the areas. The only area that I think we need to look at is we need to be very specific in terms of which area, I mean, which area are we going to cover in this that is inquiry, meaning from which area to which area. Because if we are not going to specify as to when is our inquiry starting, we are going to have a serious problem. The example would be if we are saying, for instance, this inquiry, we are investigating issues that happened, that is as from 2014 to 2015. It's just an example. That we need to have parameters, that is in terms of our investigation. Because if we don't have that, we are running the risk of getting people raising issues as early as 1920. And some of us, unfortunately, we are not even that is around. That is at that time.
No, that's fine. You want to take the last part? Okay.
The issue is that just two things. First of all, in terms of witnesses being called, I think the sooner we can define the areas of focus, it seems that there's a mood in the room that we go for areas of focus and assign, as Honourable Shankwa said, a very good idea, pair a member from each committee to work on it. It also means that if one member is unavailable on the day, that other member can help with questioning. I think it's really, really good byproduct. I think as soon as possible we need to define those areas, and let those teams go off and start their work, because they will also generate lists of witnesses. In the course of their work, they'll realize, ah, we need to call this person might have been so. So to inform the evidence leader process, that's vital. And then, Chair, just a practical consideration, we must also consider the normal work of SCOPA and the normal work of the Portfolio Committee and how we do this parallel to that, because we can't have a situation for the next 6-9 months. SCOPA comes to a halt because we've got lots of work, and I'm sure the Portfolio Committee has a lot of work as well. So how we factor in working in both, not to be all consumed by an inquiry, and then the other business of the day gets left behind. Just considering that, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. clearly, we need to define that work first before we can pair ourselves. We equally need to define that scope. That scope and timing is very critical. I think that we are, as we speak one after the other, we are agreeing on a need for us to identify those focal areas. We are also agreed that we need to identify those witnesses that doubt very much we will be able to do that work here now, in full view of everyone. We are equally agreed that we need to broaden this as much as we can so that the public can also participate in this whole process. Obviously, that shall take the form of an advert. And very, very precise as well as what is expected, so that we don't find ourselves being all over. Those terms of reference shall assist us to that form. A point is made, which I take it that is also agreed upon, that we specialize to a point where we even pair ourselves. We have certain information in this committee, and the other committee has specific information. Those are the details. We did agree that a process of law enforcement must go parallel. If you remember in the joint session that we had, we did agree that we need to proceed where there is any transgression legally. That process must take its own course. Obviously, this is the one same process, but where there is a glaring illegal, if you like, activity, let's feel free to go to the police station and report a case and allow that law process to take its course. I don't think we need to overemphasize on that one. We also agree that a need for us to engage in an option of an evidence leader so that it allows us time as the members of parliament to participate in this whole process. I think those are some of the areas that notwithstanding, of course, the issues related to support, those ones must be identified. We do have our content advisors, we do have our researchers, we do have our communications people who shall have from time to time be assisting us in this regard, in those specific areas. So far as the budget is concerned, and so far as the legal team is concerned, these are issues that we always should reach out to those that are responsible for those areas. We had to call on Advocate Jenkins for that specific purpose. I think with those few inputs that we've been making, we seemingly are moving closer to agreeing on a number of areas that are quite operational in nature. What I would request us to do as of now, perhaps having interacted with the input from Advocate Jenkins, let's move straight into those terms of reference. And secondly, let us also agree on the specific focal areas that we need to focus on.
Comrade Lemon.
Chair. I think because the basis of all of this has been the findings of the AG in the main, may I suggest that we, as part of the very, very first act, to actually help us, excuse me, to actually help us deal with the identification of focus areas is maybe a refresher briefing by the AG, particularly to do an age analysis of the findings in terms of the genesis of what actually happened, so that we can from there then begin deriving them, and the National Treasury. And then, I don't know how, but to get a detailed briefing first on the financial statement, on top of the findings, in terms of what actually happened. Because you will recall that, I mean, the Department of Water and Sanitation was with environmental funding or something like that. And then there was a split. So we actually need to zoom into those changes, that whole yada yada, when the department actually became a standalone department in its entirety. So I think, Chair, it would be helpful for us to be targeted to get a very thorough briefing from the Auditor General, who actually is, I would want to say, the whistleblower in chief, insofar as all of this is concerned, because everything hinges on that. And secondly, it's something that we take with greater credibility than any other allegation that may be made by somebody else, because of the, you know, the trust we have in the AG. So can we prioritize the AG to just give us the age analysis of the findings and the areas around those findings, and then to then zoom into the financial textures?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to add, I agree with the principle of getting the AG first in, but I would also request we do that with National Treasury as well as the SIU. And Chair, maybe I just spoke to my colleague here, is maybe the two chairpersons and a small committee of the joint committee should look at the focus areas after the briefing by all three of those institutions. Then we determine with a small committee. In the meantime, Chair, if it's allowed, then maybe sort out the process with the Chair of Chairs, and so that we can get a date when most probably this could start. So that's my proposal.
No, I think Chair is correct that we'll not be able to go through them now one by one. I think if we were to follow this process, it will help us, because generally National Treasury and the Auditor General become central, both as a support but again to help us, you know, resolve some of the issues before. So I will support the idea that says that under both your leadership, the two administrators and the researchers, maybe one or two other members, just to form a small team that can then begin to process this whole thing. As you do that, there will be a need definitely to consult with the Parliament program, because we'll then have to, on the coming back, we'll then be able even to give us some kind of a draft program with regards to the work in which we have to engage in, isn't that the program of our work as two committees here. So let's agree on the small team, Chair, that can then process the issues. And I think AG is available. The issue of the SIU, Chair, we have met with the SIU as a committee. And I think both committees, obviously, have interacted, but specifically on the issues of water. You know that there's an outstanding report back from them and the Hawks, as we discussed last time. You may want to rob them at the level of what you proposed earlier. As we move with this inquiry, it will then go parallel with the law enforcement agency. You may want, I know that they currently, the Public Accounts Committee, SCOPA, it has a dedicated a person from the Hawks, I think, I understand, I'm not sure, but they do have that. So we'd have to rob in this school as we begin to identify. Because issues of fruitless regular expenditure, Chair, are clear, you know, but obvious, yeah, we package them aside and we know what action is expected to be done there. Then project-related corruption that we've identified, then we then bring in your what you call, we bring in your public, what you call, what you call them, the whoever. But I think that small committee can then do good such. Thank you.
Richard Porter. Then let's take it that those focal areas will literally be sourced from a number of processes. the funding from the AG, National Treasury, the recommendations themselves from that PRR report. You yourselves, the SCOPA, you have been having your own recommendations on the department. Those shall also be brought on board. And of course, the SIU, once again, a process that talks about a law enforcement lodging of a case does not have to wait for all of this. If we have any concrete case that we should lodge in any police station, that process must for sure take its own turn without having to wait for this particular process. This one that we are in is going to take its own process. We shall have to define the scope and the timing accordingly. Okay. We are moving closer to getting into a concrete program of action. a suggestion has been tabled about a small team that must pull each other together, and that begins to bring all of this, unearth those specific areas out of these reports and recommendations. Pull up all of those and be able to bring them so that we are able to get a sense as to what is it that we are packaging. And for us to be able to say, okay, it's fine. We shall then have to move. These are the specialists in this area. These are the pairs that are going to be defined and agreed upon. So that's the process that I'm getting a sense that we seemingly are agreeing upon. Okay. okay, can we just finalize that that small team?
On the team, my proposal would be, let's agree that the two of you would form the core of the team, and you would pull us as and when that is you need us. Because my biggest problem is, with big teams, you have problems. Because we need to have very clear timelines. That is in what we're dealing with.
Same page, Commander Ross?
Hopefully the team will be, the team that will be allocated to be as inclusive as always. We have confidence that it could be. Chairperson, I just wanted to make one remark and perhaps a request. We've seen all the proposals and I think there's a general consensus that we agree. But is it possible that you will allow the legal opinion, Advocate Jenkins, just to give us his view in terms of all the proposals that we've made, whether we are on track in terms of the legal process as he outlined?
Saw your hand, Comrade Carter. You covered. We are all fine. Okay, so we are agreed that the two of us must pull together, both from the administration and any of us who might be specializing in any specific area. I guess the important thing is about the timing out of that whole process. Next week we must come back, or we must come back before we rise for recess.
Next week, Chair, it's very important that we can do it next week so that we can then be able to, if possible, look at making a request to Parliament for it to operate during the recess, but you know, that's when you bring in the party, what's called the arrangement, to go through a chief group of parties to request. So it's better to do it next week, so that before we adjourn, we now already have some kind of a framework in our approach. So next week, we can come back next week.
And including Vigas in that small team, Vigas not part of
that small team.
No, thanks for that. Can we then move straight into the timing? Just a quick discussion. What do we have in mind of work?
Chi, are you talking about the time period? I know that there are SOU matters, one that I have in possession of, against, for instance, the DDG. It goes back to work in 2012. So maybe my other colleagues have been working on this committee for a long time can help. But I don't think we should limit it to 2014 or something like that. I think it probably goes back to, I would say, at least 2010, past 8 years. I know that there are matters for work, for instance, done in Polokwane, where there's currently a matter in place where the DDG has been called for recovery of funds. You may be aware of it in February, based on the SIU investigation, and that's a 2012 matter. So I think we should go back at least as far as that, because that is one that would certainly fall part of it.
I was very deliberate in saying let's engage with AG. The AG is best placed to tell us when the camel's back began to break. Let's allow the AG that faces the whistleblower in chief to direct us accordingly. We would try to start here. If we're not satisfied, we will then go back. But I think and Treasury as well. Insofar as what request we have in terms of how much time we need to do this work, that resides with the co-chairperson and the task we've given them. You are best placed now, when you've got the information, give us terms of reference, then we're going to make an informed decision. We might say we want to be done by end of August, and you come back to us next week with only 3 special areas, and we're like, right, it can be done in 2 weeks. So I think the lifespan of this entire process now resides solely on the shoulders of the chair. Give us the guidance in so far as the focus areas that you'll give us, and then we'll make the special provision to adjust it as and when new information surfaces, or we recognize that the depth of the work continues to go deeper and deeper. So I think let's allow you to engage with the AG in terms of the age analysis, engage with Treasury, and you can make an informed decision in so far as the outer date when you conclude this week, when we have got the full scale and of the focus areas before us, and when members have actually been given those focus areas for them to determine whether they will be in a position to carry this work within the confines of the prescribed date. So I think in giving you that type of confidence, you can do the terms of reference. We've got the full confidence of the joint committees that you will be able to give the necessary guidance. But if we sit here now, we're going to suck things out of our thumbs and, for the purpose of expediency, just talk and talk. So can you drive the process from your offices and give us a full briefing next week?
That assists us. Which then, in my view, having listened to members here that we seemingly are together, let us give an opportunity for Advocate Jenkins to comment.
Just before you go, Advocate Jenkins, my take is that if we say we're going to engage the Auditor General or National Treasurer, it means we must send them formal letters that say this is what we expect. and I would imagine they will then need time to be able to make written submission, so that when we come back to a joint sitting and say these are what we think should be the terms of reference based on what the Auditor General and National Treasurer has given us, we make those copies are made available to you so that you too can make your own inputs based on the information that would have gone through. So it might as well be that it cannot be next week. The earliest could actually be the last week when we're here, that we could have had access to that information in a meeting with them, and then before we rise, call a joint meeting and say, this is what we have seen, this is what we think, and then from there, I think we could then tie the other days going forward.
Yeah, that assists. What I want us to do.
I agree with the process of raising the issue. The timelines that we are putting, I think the issue will be able to respond. I'll tell you why. Because throughout the whole process, we've been engaging with the AG. In fact, in every meeting, every engagement, AG has been exposed to these issues. And even as we speak now, informally, I would say that AG is in position of our terms of reference. So I'm going to make a plea that, Chair, I don't just want to move to that other way. Let's just try, and if we are to communicate today, because I'll tell you that there's a correspondence of the AG that sort of say to the department that it must clarify itself either to be regarded as a going concern. So AG is fully aware of the problems that are there. So my appeal is that let's try next week. We can even do it on a Thursday, not even on a Tuesday, so that when all the committees are ready. So that by the end of, because my worry is that if we don't do that, the last week, everything is just rushed and then we're gone and it's going to be reflected. So if we can do it for next week, and then that last week then we can then prepare ourselves, you know, for something else that is, you know, we'll be able to move us forward. I'm just appealing, but if the entire members feel that, let's put it for that last week. The last week is chaos in Parliament. Everybody's packing the bags, all the doers are going home and no one wants to be here. So let's try that. I'm just my plea,
what I would suggest is that let's play it by the ear. The ear says, effectively, from now onwards, we are going to go on with the process we're in right. Depending as to how far do we go with both your National Treasury, with your Office of the Auditor General, if we have to go through the Special Investigation Unit, this is a lot of work, if I can say. As I said, depending on how far we go, we can be able to do this work next week. But looking at the time and also in anticipation of any responses, we might have to move our work for a week after next. So let us not be so much sticky about, you know, coming together next week per se. Who knows, we might get some responses on Wednesday. Being expected to come back here on Thursday might be a bit tricky. But if we are able to move fast, we shall indeed. But the aim is to suggest that before we come out of Parliament for recess, we shall have brought something together and plan going forward. So that's the aim.
Richard, you said that next week, Wednesday, is not staying, there's no sitting on Thursday.
It's a short week next week.
Yeah,
those are the details I did not want to.
Maybe Tuesday night?
Mm-hmm.
We're all here on Tuesday.
No, let's assist, because we'll be coming up with dates, and unfortunately we won't agree. My proposal is exactly what you said. Let's marry the two suggestions. Let's give the committee that is time to
to go and consult with whoever. And if they feel that by Thursday they have got information to share with us, then they can convene a meeting. If not, then they will advise us as to when can we meet.
Okay, that wraps it. Advocate Jenkins.
Thank you, Chair. I think just on the specific question from Honorable Ross, do I see anything unprocedural here? Because we're talking about procedure mostly. I don't. I do want to just say that the nature of Parliament and the power of Parliament lies in its openness and transparency. It's not a choice that Parliament has, but that this is where the power lies. Much with the other investigations being conducted, it's what the people out there are seeing happening within Parliament that actually change the facts on the ground and the future. Because Parliament is not a law enforcement agency. It's an oversight body, it's a legislative body. So when it comes, the reason I'm saying this is when it comes to the small task team, there's not a formal subcommittee which must be established in terms of the rules or House resolution. It's a working group, it's a procedural issue. Nothing wrong with doing it. We do it in the Standing Committee on Finance as well as in other committees where I've worked. That committee, I would suggest, or that task team must address procedural issues. Much like what is discussed now, when can we meet, when will we be ready for things like that, liaise with my office as well as the committee staff. When it comes to the sort of juicy bits, if I can call it that, the briefing by the AG, the briefing by Natural Treasury, SIU if it's there, or whatever else, I would suggest that happens in a full committee where you have multi-party representation. And of course, anything that's been done in the smaller task, if there's not multi-party representation, there's not a decision being taken, if it's work being done and brought back to the committee for the purpose of saving time. So that would be my suggestion on the process. But there's nothing wrong with the committee discussing, much like this committee, as the joint committees are doing now, to have a task team to facilitate that thing. That's all within the rules. I don't see any problem with that. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Can we then bring this meeting to a close on the understanding that we have been able to craft a way forward, identifying areas around which we agree. Which is the need to, in our process, have an evidence leader, of acting evidence leader, and the implications thereof in terms of people making statements and them being processed and all that. Support, if you have an evidence leader, obviously that's the legal part. The importance of ensuring that any matters that require law enforcement will not have to wait for the end of our process, but needs to be processed simultaneously. The question of scope will tie that down once we have the evidence from the Auditor General and National Treasurer, who can then make a determination whether it is 2014 or 2009 or 2004 or whatever. But most importantly, that we'll seek as much as possible to identify focus areas. Because remember, comrades, the genesis of our being together is the realization of the collapse in the department, both administratively and financially. That is the main reason why we're where we are, and we're seeking to understand what is it within the internal process of the department that led to the situation. So our engagement with the Auditor General, as well as National Treasury, and looking at the BRRR report, as well as Scopa, and the SIU, as part of the brief portfolio committee. Let's see if we can also get them. Assist us in isolating the issues so that we can then come back to you with their written submission and say, this is what they've told us, this is what we think, and then we can all collectively agree. And I think once we've agreed on that, we can then agree on time frames, like when do we start. That assists in terms of all the other things, like informing witnesses and calling on people who want to make submissions. And once written submissions are made, we'll then decide who do we then want to call to physically come and amplify their submission. So from our side, we will, I think, Comrade Chair, we need to actually send out the letters to these people. We will call that day, if it is possible, would like to meet with them next week. But if it's not, then we'll take it up from there. And once that is done, then at least the process will have begun, and then we can take it up from there. Right? Can we leave it this, comrades? All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.